whole, that's not the right translation, but and Astrid is now going to help us think about that, I think, a little bit more.
That's brilliant, thank you. It's good to have a bit of fun looking at a bit of the picture and then discovering in time the whole, isn't it? Many of you know my daughter Jess, don't you? She's 17 now, she's quite a grown-up girl. But from a really early age, I have always, from about December the 27th, started to think about next year's Christmas stocking. I know, isn't that sad? I love to listen to what she's saying when we're out and about, especially if it's a nice family day out or if it's a holiday. I listen to what she's saying and I look at the things that she's looking at and I look at the price of whatever it is that she's showing interest in. And if it's not too much, and if I really think that that would be a good little something for her Christmas stocking, I try and buy it without her knowing. And when she was little, it was quite easy to do this. And as she's got a bit older, it's a bit harder. And I have told her, bluntly told her, that my plan, my big plan every year is that when she opens her Christmas stocking, not only will the gifts that she opened bring her great joy just from the gift's perspective, but it will help her relive some good memories that have taken place over the year. That is the plan for her Christmas stocking. And yet, even though she has known it from when she was old enough to realise, and I have told her really bluntly, we still go into shops and she stands there and she goes, please! And I say to her, well, walk away. And does she? No. In the moment, she's so desperate for what it is that she wants, she forgets that Mum has got a big plan. And so often, she misses out on one of those little gifts in her Christmas stocking because she forgets the plan. She still, after 17 years, doesn't get it. And she doesn't trust that I've got her good and best interests at heart. And don't you think that it's sometimes like that with God? Because you see, God has a big plan for our lives. And yet, we don't listen to him. We forget that he intends things to go well for us and not badly. We don't listen to him. Just like Jess, we don't get it because we're so caught up in the immediate and we forget that he's working things out. Sometimes God will talk to us about the plan that he has for our life. But as Karis said, sometimes he'll talk to other people about the plan that he has for our lives. And when I told my mum that I thought God was calling me to go off to Bible college and to become a minister, she wasn't at all surprised. It was a bit of an anticlimax, if I'm honest. I said, guess what? I think God is telling me to. And she went, oh yeah. I'm not surprised at all. Mums aren't supposed to do that. They're supposed to go, wow. But she didn't. And then she explained why. She said, when I was christened as a baby, because that was what we did in the church that we went to back then, when I was christened as a baby, just before the christening, she got given a picture in a dream. And I didn't know this. She said she got a picture of the whole world. And she didn't understand what it meant, but she knew it was for me. And she knew that she had to release me to whatever it was God wanted to do with my life. And so when I said, I'm going to be a minister, I think, she went, oh yeah, now I know what that world means. And sometimes, to this day, she gets sad at what I do. And the reason she gets sad at what I do is because I work most weekends. And because I work most weekends, it means that I don't have as much time to go and see her as often as she and my dad would like. But she knows that it is God's plan. And so although she gets sad that I don't do my old 9-to-5 Monday to Friday job, which gave me much more flexibility and much more freedom, she doesn't get resentful because she knows it's part of God's plan. And God told her that rather a lot of years ago when I was just a babe in arms. She might get sad, but she never, ever gets resentful. She's really proud of what I do. But sometimes when God has a dream for our lives, people aren't so positive. They're not as happy about the dream that God has for us. We might come across people that say, I don't like that plan. And that's exactly what Joseph experienced with his brothers. When God showed Joseph that there was a plan for his life, his brothers turned against him. They were already angry that Joseph was dad's favorite, and that dream made them think that Joseph was also God's favorite as well. And I want to put something absolutely straight here. God doesn't have favorites. He might have a different plan for one person to the other, but he doesn't have any favorite children. He loves us all the same. But because the plans won't be the same for each of us, sometimes when we look at the plan that God has for somebody else, things go wrong in our heart, just the way they did in Joseph's brothers. When God chooses somebody to do something that we'd quite like to do, or he chooses a group of people to do something that we'd quite like to do, sometimes we don't like it. Sometimes we feel cross that he didn't choose us. Sometimes we feel jealous because they're doing it and we're not. Sometimes it means that we don't like that person anymore, or we behave badly towards them, just like Joseph's brother did. Sometimes we don't act badly towards other people that are chosen. We actually act badly towards ourselves. We think that because God wants them to do that and not us, they must be better than us. He must love them, and he doesn't really love us, or he doesn't really care for us. Instead of behaving badly towards other people, sometimes actually we behave badly towards ourselves. And with God and the plans that he has for our lives, there's always a mystery. There's always a mystery to the plans that he has for us, because things don't always work out the way we would like them to, and things don't always work out the way we would expect them to, and things don't always work out when we think they should do. There's always a mystery, and the plan can be really unclear. And the plan may take decades for us to work out something of what that plan is. Plans can be totally surprising, and they can be really confusing, especially when things go wrong and they're painful and they're hard. But even then, God says, "Will you trust me? Because my big plan I have for your life is for your good and not for your harm." He invites us to trust him and to remember that he is working his plan out. And just as Joseph's story has a good ending, and we'll discover that at the end of the summer, so our stories do. But it doesn't mean that there's always good stuff that happens right at the beginning through every season to the end. There's an old story about a wise man living in China, and it's this. One day, for no reason, a young man's horse ran away and was taken by nomads to another region. Everyone was sympathetic towards him and his misfortune. Oh, what a terrible thing to have happened. Your horse has been stolen. But the young man's father, who was very wise, said, "What makes you sure that this isn't a blessing?" Months later, the horse returned, and with the horse came a magnificent stallion. And this time everyone was full of congratulations. What an amazing thing has happened. Your horse has returned, and the stallion has come with it, and you're now making loads of money out of this incredible thing that's happened. But the wise father said, "What makes you so sure this isn't a disaster?" The household became very rich by the horse that the son loved to ride. But one day he fell off and he broke his hip, and everybody offered their sympathy at the bad luck that this son had gone through. And they offered him their sympathy. But the wise father said again, "What makes you so sure that this isn't a blessing?" Years later, the nomads that took the horse came back to the village. They invaded the border, and every able-bodied man had to go off and fight the nomads. The families in that village lost 9 of every 10 men. And only because the son was lame did that father and son survive to take care of each other. It's a story, but it's a story that reminds us that what looks like a blessing in the moment just may not be in the long term. And what seems like a disaster in the moment might actually turn out to be more of a blessing than we first thought. Just going to see what I've done with my notes. No, that's it. It's because of the way I've done the print. That's absolutely fine. There is a mystery to God's plan. One of my favourite authors writes about a holy unknowing with God. There is a holy unknowing about him. And it expands our capacity to both become the people that God wants us to be through the blessings and through the things that we wonder where they might be a blessing. And it teaches us how to trust him for the long story and not just the short one. We develop a waiting trust in him. But it is a challenge. And challenge number one is listening out for what God is saying to us and living out the life that he wants us to live and not trying to live out somebody else's life. A few years ago, I was talking to a friend of mine, and she didn't know what God wanted her to do. She could see what her friends were doing, and she kept trying to do what her friends were doing, and it just never quite worked out the way that it should. And she felt resentful towards them, and she felt frustrated because their plans were good and her plans never quite came to the fruition that she was looking for. And God gave her a picture, and he gave her a picture of a horse, and the horse was in a stable, and the horse in the stable was looking out onto a race course. And she had to learn to let go of all of the things that her friends were doing and start listening to what God wanted her to do. She had to stop looking out at the racehorses and trying to be a racehorse, because God said to her, "I want you to be a stable one." And then she heard him speak, and she is the most brilliant counselor. She's the most brilliant counselor. But she's not a brilliant youth worker. And she's not a brilliant kids worker. And she's not a brilliant all the other things she tried to do. But she is an excellent counsellor. But she had to stop looking at what others were doing and listen to the person that God wanted her to be. So I think the first challenge in working out and listening to what God's plan for us is actually learning to live God's dream for us and not trying to live out God's dream for somebody else. If that challenge isn't hard enough, challenge number two comes in learning to trust and be patient with God. Sometimes we have to wait. Sometimes things don't work out the way we think they might. Sometimes things seem to actively work against the plan that we think God has for our life. Sometimes what looks bad, as we discovered in that Chinese story, is actually better than we think. Things that look good aren't necessarily so. I think the story of Joseph teaches us to be a realist. Joseph got sad about the bad things that happened to him, but he never doubted that God was there. He never doubted that God would work things out. It seems as though he never stopped trusting God, even if God didn't seem to be working for his good. And at the end of the story, probably on our sort of fourth week during the summer, we'll learn that Joseph says this to his brothers: "You planned it for evil, but God planned it for good." And this is how God invites us to see life with him. To see how he is working things through for our good, even when really challenging things happen to us. He invites us to trust him with the whole of our hearts, to trust him with the whole of our understanding, to trust him with all of our energy, with all of our resources, with all of who we are, with all of our hopes, and with all of our dreams. He also asks us to trust him with all of our disappointments and all of our regrets and all of the tragedies that have happened in our lives. He invites us to trust him rather than lean on our own understanding and our own interpretation of what might be going on at any one particular time. Because as we saw with that catchphrase game that we played, that little small piece is not the whole picture. He says, don't look at others and how they're doing, but keep bringing your own life to God and keep asking God, how am I doing? How am I growing? How am I listening? How am I responding? How am I being to what you want to do in my life? There really is a mystery to what to God's plans. But he says, accept the plan I have for your life. Don't live somebody else's. And if it's a bit confusing, that doesn't mean that God isn't there. He just hasn't revealed the full picture at this time. Many of us will have struggled with things that have happened in our lives. I know I have. Things that seem to have been going in one direction and then they turned and it just seems that there were brick walls and what I thought would happen didn't happen. There have been sadnesses that have happened in my life, things that I thought would be brilliant and they weren't. Actually, they were really quite difficult. I faced situations and I thought, God, what on earth were you doing there? And what on earth did you expect me to learn out of that? And what do I do now with all of this feeling that I have about that situation? Because I can't see what benefit it was to me. And what God says to me all the time is, talk to me, trust me, and wait. Because one day you will understand a little bit more as to where I was in that situation and in those circumstances. And this morning we're going to have an opportunity to talk to God about the plans that he has for our lives, to talk to him about the times when we don't understand what's going on, and maybe to bring our confession to him. Because if you're anything like me, you sometimes fall into the category, not of Joseph, that's good, but the brothers, which is a little bit less holy. Sometimes we can feel frustrated or resentful or jealous towards other people. And so we're going to respond in three ways. So when you came in, hopefully you were given, I ordered coffee filters online and I thought we'd get some nice old-fashioned coffee filters, and I got these teeny tiny little dots, but they'll still do the job. You should have been given a coffee filter when you came in. If you weren't, I've got loads more. Don't worry, Joe. If you've not got one or it's gone missing, there are going to be some more on the table and you can use it there. Maybe you don't know what God's plan is for your life at the moment. I'm going to invite you to talk to him about it. And I'm going to invite you to do something really simple. I've got some felt tip pens here. And if you're not sure what his plan for your life is, I'm going to encourage you in different colours just to write your name. It's nicer if you do it in different colours. It doesn't have to be neat. Those of you who can see this far, it is very tiny. I've just written Astrid, but it's very odd and very scruffy. But that might be how I feel about my life. I can't see there's any neat order plan. And then I'm going to invite you to take a spray bottle. Don't drown it, but spray a little bit of water on your piece of paper. Oops, sorry, I think I've just filled somebody's bag with water. And as you wait, you will see that it goes blurry. And that might well be how you feel God's plan for your life is. But I would encourage you to hold on to what it looked like when you wrote it with a crisp pen, because that's how God sees your life, even if you see your life in this kind of blurry mess. And if you want to, I'm going to encourage you to then just peg it on here. If you want to take it home with you, then remember where you've put it, and when it dries in a few moments, you can take it home. That's one way of responding. You might want to talk to God about the plan that he has for your life. It might be that you've got a broken dream. It might be that you feel that the plans that God had for your life are really not working out the way that you thought they were. There may be someone who's hurt you, or you've been really disappointed with something that didn't happen. And that's holding us back from being the person that God wants us to be. And I'm going to encourage you to take a piece of paper, and they're going to be spare ones because you might want to do more than one. I'm going to encourage you to write a word or to draw a picture or to do something that describes what it is that you think is holding you back. And again, you're going to do the same. Just take that and just squirt it with a bit of water. And as the ink all runs in to other bits of that, talk to God about that disappointment and see how out of the disappointment God is going to make something beautiful. As you look at your blurry picture with colours blending, see the beauty of what God is or might do in your life. Even when horrible things happen, God turns them into beautiful. The third thing is that confession thing. You might be feeling quite resentful and angry or jealous of somebody. God's given it all to them, and he's given nothing to me. And it's just not fair. I'd encourage you to talk to God about that. Maybe write the name of the person that you feel jealous of. Maybe just write the word sorry on that piece of paper. And again, spray it with water. And see how beautiful your sorry becomes. When we confess things to God, it is good. Trust that God will use your sorry and he'll set you free. And again, that will help you become the person that he wants to be. So I'm going to put some spare ones of these in case you've lost yours or you want to do more than one. But I invite you to come over to the table in your time. Write something down. Talk quietly to God about it. And then hang it up on the string here. And it will dry fairly quickly, dry well enough if you want to take it home. So let's spend some time responding, talking to God.